In this episode, you could win one of two Age of Sigmar Champions Savagery Bundles. For your chance to win, like, comment, subscribe, and ding our dong on YouTube, or come across and join us on our main website, ontabletop.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Weekender. Today, I am joined by Jerry and Ben, or is it Ben and Jerry?
Could be.
We go by both.
Yeah. You go by both. The newest hot celebrity couple. Mm. All right, guys. It's been another fantastic week in gaming. Tons of stuff has been happening. And we have a jam-packed show for you today as well, including some chat from the guys from PlayFusion about some of their new stuff that's coming out. We've got Freddy from Battlefront in and some other stuff happening as well that should have you very excited. First thing to mention.
Yes.
This weekend, Donna and Gianna are across at Adepticon running a live blog for us. So tons of content catching up with all the latest and greatest that's happening in America. And in particular, you noticed from the content or anything you're looking forward to seeing from the show?
Saga.
Yeah. All Saga.
All Saga. And
all the time.
Well, not just Saga. Ronnie's over there, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the Mantic meetup.
Yes.
They always have a big drinking session and a massive game before they kick into all of their Kings of War and Vanguard and Dreadball games. So,
yeah, what about yourself, Ben?
It'll be really fascinating to see what the more stuff comes out from Games Workshop. We'll be talking a little bit about that later anyway. But as well as that, I know Dawn and Gianna have been doing some really cool things in terms of prizes. So there's some really cool stuff for you to go and pick up, especially those premium and VIG big swag bags they do over there. They are insane. They're basically like filled with like three or four different games. So go and check those out because you might be in a chance of winning one of those for yourself, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So.
Sticking to the theme of events, not this weekend, but the following weekend, I am sorry to say this, I am absolutely crushed to tell everybody this, it's horrible, it's absolutely terrible, there will be no Weekender and no Weekender XLBS next week, because myself, Jerry, Ryan, and Ben are all going to be across covering Salute. So, this is one of those shows that I love going to every year, because it's kind of like a one-night stand, because it's in, wham, bam, thank you, man, and get away again.
That's appalling.
Like
I'm having flashbacks to a few weeks ago.
What? What have I done? Did I misspeak again? Has my list caught me out?
Yeah, it really has. But yeah, it's nice. It's good. It's contained.
Yeah, we'll also be doing some stuff with the Foreground guys, as we mentioned last week. So it's always fun to hang out with Big Ben from Foreground. If you see him at the show, run up, give him a cuddle and say, Justin told me to give you this. Just because.
Okie dokie. You realise this will mean escalation. People will be licking your head again.
They will be. Yeah.
It's more
I'm
like
going Lemon say you can probably win a prize, not a guarantee. If you lick his head, your house may be at risk.
You see, this is why I never shave the night before. So right. That way it's rough whenever they lick my head. You know, kind of like a reverse cat's tongue.
Fair enough.
Lovely.
All right, Ben, you have an update here sitting here as well. What have we got?
One of the cool things that happened last week is that, well, I think it was a couple of weekends ago now, is that Warren set Dave Taylor a task of converting the Venom Crawler, but not from Chaos to something else, Chaos back to its Imperial design.
Oh, yes.
And so he has been set into task on doing that, and he's created himself a little project that he's put together that you can see there. Now, Dave Taylor's got himself an Adeptus Mechanicus army, and he loves playing around with stuff like that and converting and things. And of course, he did his army's Legions and Hordes book, which was on Kickstarter. He's now on Kickstarter as well with Meld the Terrain, which is doing another book as well, which is really cool. He's been taking that Venom Crawler, and he's going to be starting to turn it back into its Imperial style that it first started out as before it got mutated and tainted by Chaos. It's going to be really fascinating seeing what he gets up to with this one and just sort of how he brings together all those different bits to create something fascinating. So yeah, watch out for this one and follow along with his project as well. So
see, I kind of disagree with Warren on this one that it can be turned back to Imperial, because I don't think it ever was Imperial.
Of course
I
it was. Where did they get it from?
I think it's a complete original creation of Chaos.
Chaos don't do original creations. Everything they got was Imperial and then got chaosified or, you know, demon.
Well,
like, up.
If it was a Defiler, yeah, I can see that comes from the Mechanicus Dune Crawler, but
yeah.
This thing...
But the Defiler predates the Dune Crawler by 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So we can quite happily see one of these coming for the Imperial anytime.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Everybody can argue with me in the comments below, but
I think
this is a completely original Chaos creation.
No.
Completely original Demon Engine.
No.
What do you think, man?
Where are their factories? Where are they going to make these things?
Well, in the Shadowspear book, it actually talks about them having taken over a forge world. So they have a forge world.
They have the forge world.
They have raw metal.
Yeah, they don't just go and hammer things. Everything in the 41st millennium works off standard template constructs, STCs. You put the card in the machine, and then the machine spits out what you've got. You want a blade? You put the STC card in for a blade, and they make you a million combat knives or a land raider or whatever. This is what it all is. Technology is just that motivated.
The only people
who make their own stuff properly from scratch are the squats. People who understand technology. Nobody in the future understands technology.
What about the Tau? What about the Eldar?
Yeah, no. The Eldar sing all of theirs. That's not technology.
What about the Necrons?
Right. No. No? Not Necrons. Undead in space. No. None of that.
This is a very cool idea. I always love seeing Dave Taylor work just because he does some really, really nice stuff.
Yeah, no, I think it's really fascinating to see what he does with this one. As I said before, you know, Dave Taylor does some really good stuff when it comes to converting. So following on this project and sort of throwing a couple of comments in and stuff like that might be quite interesting to see, see what he takes on board. Because obviously, you know, it'd be good to have some community feedback and, you know, maybe your ideas will be integrated into that. And you never know. If this does ever become an Imperial vehicle, maybe it'd be based on the idea that Dave makes. That could be kind of cool. So,
cease and desist letter inbound. All right. Next up, we have Sam from the office here sitting down with Alan and Rob from PlayFusion to chat about some new stuff coming from Age of Sigmar. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Sam from On Tabletop, and I'm joined by Alan and Rob from PlayFusion. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks, Sam.
Yeah, now, they're here to tell us about the latest expansion for what I think is the best new card game in recent years, Warhammer Age of Sigmar Champions. I absolutely love this card game. So before we get into that, can you just tell us a bit about yourselves, introduce yourselves a bit?
Sure, after Rob. Okay, I'm Rob. I'm the content manager at PlayFusion. So I'm responsible for making sure every bit of content we put out is spick and span. I joined PlayFusion back in November last year. Absolutely fell in love with Warhammer Champions. I'm a big Chaos player. I love me the big spells they've got. And yourself, Alan?
Yeah. So I'm Alan. I'm a video producer. I've chatted to you guys a few times before. I've appeared in a few videos. I'm also the narrative designer here on Warhammer Champions. So that means I've been putting together all the storylines, especially for this new set. We've been doing a lot of work on it. So hopefully everyone's going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm very excited for this one because, of course, it's bringing in plenty of new stuff for Age of Sigmar. So, what Grand Alliance is your preferred faction?
I've got to say Destruction. I'm really looking forward to playing with some of the new guys we've got coming in now. I just love to really chuck as many units on the battlefield at a time as I can, and that's, you know, they're the boys for doing that.
Yeah. Well, see, as mentioned before, I like Chaos. I don't mind doing a bit of damage to myself to do the big hits.
Yeah.
I'm a death player myself, so it's all about raising my units again. That's where I have my fun.
Yeah. Well, there'll definitely be some good stuff in Savagery for you for that one.
Okay, now I believe
there will be.
I believe Savagery is the third booster set for Age of Sigmar Champions. What is the story behind Savagery? What's been happening in the lore?
Okay, so this so with this storyline, we're basing it within the realm of beasts. So in the realm of Gur, Alariel, the Ever Queen, is come into the realm because she has found out that Rotagus Rainfather and Haticulus Slimex from Nurgle have started to try and infest this realm. She sort of sensed that they're overwhelming the forests there, and she and her Sormanek are coming in to try and fight back against the Nurgle and the Maggot King. Alongside that, we also have the Gloomspike Gits. They're going to be running amok through the realm. Basically, the Bad Moon is flying overhead, all kinds of mad, mad stuff going on. So they've come here trying to impress the Bad Moon, as they like to try and bring about the Everdank. But on the side of that, we also have Arkhan the Black has been sent through to basically try and collect some Loonstone. If you know your Age of Sigmar lore, Loonstone has a lot of magical properties to it. One of the things being that it can drain magical energy from the realm where it is, and it tends to drive people a little bit insane. Part of why the why the Gits like it so much. So Arkhan is leading a mass legion of death into the realm of beasts to try and collect this Loonstone. The only problem is that the Gits have all taken up residence on this giant piece of Loonstone, so they're going to have to fight them to try and claim it. So it's all kicking off.
Big bomb.
Yeah, fantastic. I do have to admit that the Gloomspite Gits are the one thing that tempt me away from death. Sounded really grim. They tempt me away from the Grand Alliance of Death. Does the Loonstone, does that play a part in this new set at all? Are any cards that reflect its importance?
So there are a few cards that talk about the bad moon. Not so much the Loonstone in itself. There are a few cards that talk about the moon itself. Is it the bad moon?
The bad moon may well be a card.
Yep, so the bad moon itself is making an appearance in card form.
Yeah.
The Loonstone element is actually more something that we're going to be tying into our organized play and just on the narrative side of things. And it may have more of an appearance within the digital events that will run on our mobile version of the game as well.
Perfect.
And Steam now.
And Steam. And soon Twitch.
There you go. Okay, so what does savagery bring to the game? You mentioned a lot of the different factions there. What are some of the cards we can expect to see? Some of the really big characters or really important new... Well, basically, what do you think are the coolest new additions from Savagery?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've got all the named characters. Yeah, a lot of the guys we've just spoken about. We've obviously also got Scragrot, the Loon King, and four of the Loonspite Gits. What else have we got? We've got Arkhan, Galariel. So we've got all the characters that we've just mentioned, but there are some cool new, some other new stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, talking about Galariel, she's got her right-hand woman, Droicha Hamadreth, who is one of my favourite characters, I think. It's essentially a wood mech. It's just fantastic. And I think what we've done with the Sylvaneth and the other races that we brought in, and so we've got the Gloomspite Gits and we've got the Nurgles as well.
We've got Magakin.
The Magakin as well. Each of those playstyles are pretty unique. So with the Sylvaneth and with some of the cards we've already revealed, we've really lent into sort of their ability to just charge in and recklessly try and fend and defend their land. So they've got really robust discard mechanics, which we think is going to really shake up the game and create some really pretty unique playstyles. So for example, Droicha Hamadreth, as I just mentioned, has an ability to constantly discard cards to play cards. And so you're basically burning through your deck to try and do as much damage and create that win condition as quickly as possible. I think that sort of play style is going to be really exciting to play both in the physical and the digital game.
Yeah, we've got some cards that are doing things now that we haven't seen before.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can't. The name escapes me right now, but I'm sure we can send you it so you can show it. But that allows you to actually once your champions have completed when they've completed their blessing, they've completed their quest, received their blessing, it actually allows you to restart their quest from the very beginning.
Yes.
Allow you to earn those blessings. Things again, yeah. So that's quite a cool new mechanic.
Divine Inspiration is the order card that lets you do that. It's one of those cards that if you can pull it off, it's gonna pay off big for you. So if you can get to your blessings, hit them, and then restart them, that puts you in a position where you can really do some damage pretty quickly.
And of course, the great thing with that is as well is that you, because you already unlocked the blessings once, you have a better idea of
absolutely
got what blessings.
Absolutely, of course. And so we've got a lot of cards like that. We've got cards. There's some new neutral cards like Battle Tactics, which just you can basically play without any, from any sort of position, from behind or from in front. It allows you to sort of change the game, shuffle your cards, revamp your tactics, and sort of push forward for a win condition. So we've got what we've tried to do with Savagery is we've tried to bring a lot of different play styles and also reinforce the existing play style. So we're going to see a lot of existing decks, existing mets shaken up, as well as new tactics come out.
And if you're a Nurgle fan as well, of course. We've got Nurglings coming in now, which everyone loves Nurglings.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The cool thing about them
is guys.
The thing up until now has been that you're only allowed three of any single card within your deck. With the Nurglings, you can actually take seven of those in.
Yeah.
Really showing how they kind of fill the battlefield.
Yeah.
And they increase in strength depending on the number of Nurglings you have in play. So then there's also is it actually seven different designs of cards?
Yes. Nurglings. So the Festering Nurglings card. There are seven different designs of them, and so you can have seven of those cards, all different artwork, in your deck. So you can basically just throw Festering Nurgling after Festering Nurgling, just spreading the love of
spreading the plague.
Yeah, spreading the love of grandfather Nurgle.
That's absolutely fun. Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. I love the idea of throwing that many Nurglings down onto the field.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure they had different art, because you don't want seven of the same looking cards in your deck. So, you know, you can really, and a lot of the cards really do show the mad side of Nurgle. Yeah. The Nurglings are a massive part of the Maggot King. So it's good to actually be able to show that off.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to see that. Yeah. Are there any other mechanics that really characterize these new factions coming in? Like, I have to come back to my favorites, the Gloomspite Gits. What do they have to play with?
Yeah, I mean, there's Loon Smasher Fanatic.
Yes, the Loon Smasher Fanatic is a new card that we've got coming in this set, where essentially, if you play it right and you have a bit of luck, you will be able to basically pull off all of its corners in full rotation in one turn. So essentially, this card will allow you to place it, and then you'll be able to discard a card from your opponent. If that card is a unit, it will rotate to the next corner. If you just discard another card, if that card is still a unit, it will rotate to its last corner, where it will do damage. So it'll allow you to just rapidly, one, discard your opponent's cards, and two, do damage pretty quickly. So we've got our existing mechanics that have existed through the first two sets, as you mentioned. But this one, we've really sort of leaned into the fact that you can do big damage really quickly if the conditions are right.
It's that crazed idea as well that the Fanatics, whenever you're playing the Age of Sigmar physical game, have that unpredictable nature to them. We wanted to sort of bring that into this as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's also the hallucinogenic fungus brew, which lets you, when you play that, it basically allows you to move an entire stat. So from now, obviously with destruction cards, you can stack up units.
Yeah.
Of course, when you discard them, you discard all of those units. Well, this is going to allow you to move that entire stack back into your hand. Not back into your deck, straight into your hand. Mm-hmm. So you can instantly get a whole mob of orcs or grots back in your hand.
And don't forget, this is taking place in the land of Gur. Yeah. So you can use Gur realm magic. So we are adding a third version of our realm magic, which will be just sort of Gur magic. So for those who don't know, realm magic is a type of magic that you can use that essentially locks you to that realm. So you can either support the realm of fire, the realm of life, and now the realm of Gur. So you can basically wield the power of the land of Gur itself into your tactics.
That sounds really cool. It does sound like you've got that savagery theme down with these new mechanics. I have to ask that, how do you think current players will find this impacting the meta of their games?
I think it's really going to play a lot with the way that people deal with discarding drawing back from your discard pile, that kind of feel.
It becomes sort of a really core part of some of the gameplay now, especially for, as mentioned before, the Sylvaneth. So existing players will, you know, they'll be familiar with all of our mechanics like discard. You know, death can, you know, have spells that allow them to discard some of their cards to do damage to the enemy, to remove spells. But now with the Sylvaneth and with some of the death cards, you can actually use discarding much more robustly. It becomes a core part of your gameplay. You have cards that you want to discard because they have effects when they are discarded. You have cards that will have effects when they're brought back from the discard pile. So we've really sort of leaned into the fact that this is a really reckless land. It's do or die. There's a lot of risk for a lot of reward.
And of course, it doesn't. You're not. You know, if you're playing usual Sylvaneth, it's always been, you know, you're not limited by you have to just play a Sylvaneth deck. It can, you know, it can be part Stormcast, part Sylvaneth,
of course,
part Idoneth Deepkin. You know, you're obviously limited to your Grand Alliance, but you're not purely stuck playing just Sylvaneth or just Stormcast. So, you know, you can really merge all those together and hopefully build some cool tactics.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they get Squigs.
Squigs make an appearance.
Yeah. The Squigs are definitely my favourite part of the Gloomspite Gits. I would collect that army just for the Squigs.
There you go. You can have a new tag Squigs in there as well now. So Squigs are going to have a big part in this.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So Savagery is launching April 5th. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. So it's launching April 5th for the physical version. The digital version is launching on April 8th.
Okay. Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, this weekend, so today, you're running your first strike events. What is happening?
Indeed.
Sorry?
I've just checked my fake watch. There are currently First Strike events running right now.
Excellent. How, can you tell us a bit about those and how can people get involved?
Sure. So if you head to the Warhammer Champions website and then you'll see there is a store locator on that website, you'll be able to find a store near you that will be running a First Strike event. And a First Strike event is our preview event where you'll be able to see all of these the Savagery cards in a tournament format. So not you won't only just get to look at them, you actually get to play them and take them home with you. So you'll be able to go to your local store, you'll be able to sign up to an event there, and you'll be able to sort of take part in a sealed deck tournament where you'll be able to play with exclusively with the new Savagery cards. And not only that, everyone who attends will be getting a rainbow foil, first time we've ever done this, a rainbow foil Beastly Leap card, which is a completely brand new promo card that we're doing for the first time. We're really excited about how people are going to interact with these cards. We are basically throwing everything out of this pre-release, right? So there's not just a select little bit, it's every single part of Savagery we are letting people get their hands on and take home with them.
We want to start doing these for all of the events.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
yeah.
the sets going forwards, really, yeah. getting, you know, letting people see them early, getting people's, you know, seeing what people like about them.
Of course, yeah.
So it should be really cool, really excited about it.
Yeah, definitely.
There you have it. If you want to get involved, just head on over, find your store, grab a coat, put the weekender on pause. We'll be back. We'll still be here when you get yeah. back and go have a game. Okay, so before I let you both go, I have to ask, what does the future hold for Champions? Now we're on GER, where could we be heading moving forward?
Oh, you're going to get some trouble with Games Workshop.
Goodness me.
We're... So within the actual card game itself, obviously we're now going to be, over the next few months, all of our storylines, our digital events, our physical yeah. events, all our organized play, will all be building on our storyline and all of these characters and the Loonstone and the Bad Moon. After that, we can't really say what's going to happen. All I can, well, I can say that we have plans. We already know what is happening.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all very tied into things that are coming up within the Age of Sigmar physical game.
Yeah.
So if we say too much, Games Workshop will tell me off. In the digital, some exciting stuff coming out.
Yeah, we do. Especially next month is a big, big time for the digital game. As we mentioned before, we've got the Nintendo Switch version coming middle of April. But we've also got some new modes coming with that, which we haven't talked about yet. So we can sort of reveal here that we will be bringing a brand new single-player adventure mode into the game, which we are calling Realm Trials.
Yeah.
We will talk a lot more about this over the coming weeks. But
it's a pretty robust new game mode, isn't it?
It's big. There is a lot to this. Hundreds of different campaigns in there, hundreds of different ways to play this. We're really excited for what this is going to bring to the game, and we will be bringing that out pretty soon. So I look forward to some more information about that. On the physical side of things, we will also have a pretty massive announcement coming over the next day or two as to what we will be doing for our competitive scene.
Oh, yes.
And we won't be able to talk about that just yet.
There was a lot of exciting chat about it in the office earlier on.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of excitement. This is going to be quite a big announcement, and we are really looking forward to sharing some big stuff with you guys soon.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear more about that. Okay, guys, thank you very much for letting us know about Savagery. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some of those cards for ourselves and get some games on soon.
Send you some over.
Yeah,
we'll definitely send you some over. We'll have to try. We'll have to sort you out some out for a competition as well.
Oh, that would be...
Give away some to the, the viewers.
That would be fantastic. Yes, thank you.
If we say it now, then we'll have to do it.
Then we're locked in.
Exactly. We'll sort you out some giveaways. There you go.
You heard it there, guys. Okay, if you want to find out more about Age of Sigmar Champions, be sure to check out some of our previous Let's Plays here on tabletop.com and let us know in the comments below your thoughts about Savagery. In the meantime, thanks very much, Alan and Rob.
Cheers.
Yep, we'll carry on here and we'll see you in the next one.
Hi, I'm Alan from Lightseekers and you're watching The Weekender with BeastsOfWar.com. Oh, yeah.
Okay, guys, I can actually confirm now we have two of the Savagery box sets up for grabs in this episode. So make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and join us over here on Tabletop. Right, Ben, it's that time of the show. What's going on in the news?
Cool, yeah. So the first big bit of news actually came out of Adepticon this week, and it was from the guys at Games Workshop. And this is sort of, the first bit of this is focused towards Age of Sigmar, but also Warhammer 40,000 as well, because we know that demons like to travel through their realms of chaos into all sorts of interesting places. And this is the news that Slaanesh is back in a big way. And this was all heralded by the introduction of a new version of the Keeper of Secrets that you can see right there. So yeah. We're getting a new model, which I think is looking very, very suave, very, very sexy indeed, that will be leading the Hedonites of Slaanesh into battle throughout the Mortal Realms and, of course, the grim dark future of the 41st millennium as well. Going alongside the release of the Keeper of Secrets, we're also seeing some additional stuff coming through as well. So we're seeing the Mask return, which is Slaanesh's favorite demonette, is coming back to the tabletop in some form as well. And also some additional models too. So you'll see some lovely stuff there with that kind of like almost giant style creature, that giant humanoid sort of being ridden around by one of the demonettes as well. Mm-hmm. It kind of puts me in mind of, you know, the idea of what Xerxes was like in, was it Xerxes?
Yes.
In 300?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of like over the top hedonistic style thing going on. It very much reminds me of that. But it's really nice to see Slaanesh coming back in a big way. They're getting their battle tome, they're getting some really cool new endless spells as well, which is absolutely fantastic to see. And again, as I say, Slaanesh coming back to the tabletop is kind of interesting, because obviously they sort of pushed them to the side for a little bit for a while, just because it was a little bit on the nose perhaps. But I think they've come back with a new design philosophy to try and get that kind of level of sort of, as I say, allure and a sort of sexiness back onto the tabletop, but without, you know, going over the top and throwing boobs everywhere, which is a big thing. So
yeah. I'm going to be controversial here. I'm going to say I really dislike what they've done to Slaanesh here.
What?
Yeah.
What? It's an amazing sculpt. It's brilliant.
Technically, it's great, but it just doesn't feel like Slaanesh to me. It's became a lot more masculine, a lot more androgynized. And I don't know, I always liked the older versions.
See, yeah, that's the thing. I think the androgynous nature of that is what really should draw this in, because there's no sort of set sex or gender to whatever Slaanesh was on the tabletop.
It
was
incredibly pretty much gender fluid.
Incredibly gender fluid. And I love the fact that they've got the Keeper of Secrets just striding forward, almost a little bit like a model on a catwalk, because I believe you could just imagine them exuding effectively no sort of like aggression or anything when they're fighting, but just sort of calmly walking forward, slicing things down as they go. I think it's very sort of fitting for the world of Slaanesh. So that's just me.
It is all opinion. Some people like the new stuff. Some people who are right like me will like the older stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're wrong. I don't think they've changed it that much at all.
No.
The sculpt actually feels just a lot more masculine. You know, there's very little femininity to this.
That's very definitely hermaphroditic. That's got one male breast and one female breast, which is how it was always meant to be portrayed. And they rarely did it on the sculpts. And the cow face is very similar to, I want to say, the demon prince Azael.
Was a
cow-headed hermaphrodite from fantasy.
Okay.
About 20 years ago, just before Chaos stormed the first time. So yeah, I mean, even things like the mask coming back, that's, I'd be hard pressed to tell you the difference between that and the original mask. I'm assuming that's plastic multi-part.
I think this is a new plastic version.
Yeah, but again, it doesn't look that much different from the original one. It's just a repose more than anything else. Yeah. They've not changed anything. Oh, it's got ruff as a collar, which is quite nice. Don't see enough ruffs. Like a bit of ruff.
You like a bit of ruff.
Fair
enough. As do Slaanesh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Even things like the spells are quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spell effects are
really cool, yeah.
Yeah, I really like what they're doing with this. As I say, it's just nice to see another, you know, the final greater demon effectively sorted out for all the Chaos gods. Because of course you've got Skaven in there as well now, which is a big thing. But yeah, it's just really nice to see what they're doing for Slaanesh. And of course this crosses the gambit from not just Age of Sigmar on the Mortal Realms into 40K as well, which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I say, the main focus here is on Age of Sigmar, which leads us on to one of the other things that was announced as part of the news from Adepticon this week, and that we actually got a little bit more detail about what Forbidden Power is all about. Now we'd seen the teaser trailer for this, I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before, but now we're actually getting a look at this itself, and it's going to be a new boxed set that will come with a bunch of new rules in there, but also some new endless spells, because the Necroquake that Nagash put into effect during Soul Wars has actually helped break open the vault that was sealed by Sigmar and Teclis, where forbidden powers, hence the name, were sealed away from mortals so they could not use them. And now everybody, not just Death, are going to be able to use the powers of Death on the tabletop. So all of the factions are going to be able to bring these spells to the tabletop. And that obviously brings in a lot of different things into contention concerning the Stormcast Eternal, Sigmar, and the fact that he keeps bringing all these people back to life all the time and things like that. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see where they go with the storyline for this one.
I quite like the ferryman-like spell, and assuming it's a spell on the side of that box.
What's the one? Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are just a couple of the new spells that are coming out as part of this. So, yeah,
that's cool.
As well as that, another battle tome is on the way as well. So those of you that like playing as the Fire Slayers on the tabletop, you're going to be getting yourselves an updated version of that battle tome, which will come with, as you might imagine, some new stuff in terms of the rules and sort of like the formations you can use. And also you're going to be getting some sort of their take on the idea of endless spells. Mm-hmm. So if you like yourself, I think they called them Magmic Invocations, because dwarves don't cast magic, of course.
No.
Of course they don't.
Make runes, strike it on your anvil. That's how we deal.
Exactly. Do it the health and safety way.
Yeah.
So, they've brought together some really cool looking new spells for you to use on the tabletop for that. Mm-hmm. And there's also a new terrain piece. And talking of Duardin as a whole, if you're going to be getting stuck into Warhammer Underworlds, they've also announced a new warband for that as well, called Thudric's Profiteers. So if you like playing as the Cradron Overlords, then you've got yourself an interesting new warband to play around with here. And the cool thing about this one is that it seems very, very ranged focused. Normally we've seen either a mix of melee and ranged or just melee. This one seems very, very much sort of focused towards the ranged side of things. So it'd be good to see how that works on the tabletop compared to some of the other warbands out there as well. But that's not all. There is even more. Yes, there's even more. There was also a teaser for something called Loon Curse, and this was their sort of teaser towards something happening in the forests of the Mortal Realms. And we could potentially be seeing some new stuff coming out in terms of squeaks and things for the Gloomspite Gits, and maybe this is going to have them running into contention with the Sylvaneth, because obviously they are the guardians of the forests and stuff within the Realms of Life and all that kind of thing. Maybe we're going to get ourselves a new box set. That could be quite interesting, seeing these two sides going off against each other. That could be pretty cool. But yeah, watch out for that. But even then, that's not all, because there was even more stuff that came out for this as well. Because a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Age of Sigmar Warcry, which is the new game that has been done by the guys behind Kill Team and Shades and Warhammer Underworlds. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not Shades, by Shades, but just part of that. And we also got to look at one of the factions for that called the Iron Golem Tribe. Now, one of the big things that they're doing in Warcry is they're going to be looking at all the different Chaos factions, but without their sort of allegiance to the gods, but instead just them as their sort of own entities that exist out there in the Mortal Realms. The Iron Golem Tribe, as one of these sort of Chaos warbands out there, are effectively the forgers and the blacksmiths of the Chaos armies and the Slaves of Darkness. And as you can see here, they are made up of not just humans, but also ogres and Duardin as well, as you can see in some of the pictures further down that page as well. And they make all the weapons effectively for Archeon the Everchosen and his armies. So yeah, it'll be very cool to see how these guys work on the tabletop. Loving the look of them so far. It's kind of got that almost sort of like weird nautical theme to them as well, with their sort of helmets. And I love that sort of style they've got to them. I guess it would be a little bit more gladiatorial as well, which I think is very cool. But yeah, very cool stuff for that. They also, oh god, there's so much stuff coming out for these. They also showed off some of the monsters that are going to be thrown into the mix as well for this. So we got a better look at the Fury, which is very cool. Hopefully, I really hope they're going to do these as almost like wandering monsters in the Warcry. So they're the ones that are going to be sort of like walking around or flying around and sort of picking up one of your guys as he's trying to kill somebody and like throwing them off a cliff and all that kind of thing. There was also the Raptorix as well, which was thrown into the mix there, which is that kind of weird beast you see at the bottom. And finally, the last bit of news for Warcry is that a lot of people were looking at this and thinking it was just going to be Chaos Warbands and that was it. Hmm. But as part of one of their teaser images, they announced that there are going to be, I think it's between 8 and 9 other factions that will get thrown into the mix for this. So you'll also be able to bring in things like your Stormcast Eternals, your Uruks, your Nighthaunts, your Idoneth Deepkin potentially as well. They've left to try and sort of decode the iconography for this one. But as it stands, that sounds pretty awesome indeed. And yeah, it just means that anybody who wasn't overly fussed by Chaos, now you've got a reason to start looking at Warcry. Oh, and that was all the Age of Sigmar news that came out from
my word. that was one. And out of all of that, which is your favorite bit, Ben?
I love what they've done with Slaanesh. I think it's amazing. Yeah. But I'm really, really excited by what they're doing for Warcry. I think this idea of these Chaos Warbands that aren't necessarily tied to this particular chaotic allegiance, Chaos God allegiance,
yeah.
Is really, really cool. And I can't wait to see what else they do. We've seen one that looks to be sort of like based around the idea of beasts. So maybe it's going to be sort of set in that realm as well, which should be very interesting. So, yeah, awesome stuff.
I'm a massive fan of the Dwarven pizza oven.
Yes,
that because is you very, get very cool. You get hungry sometimes when you're fighting a long war, an eternal war, and you just want a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Urgold special. Yeah, it comes with gold flakes in.
Comes
the pizza.
With a little bit of everything on it. Yeah. I think out of everything there, I like the Raptorix. Just it's a really odd design to actually see
the platypus based doom.
Hang on.
Yes.
Don't even start me on platypuses. They are the strangest creature on this planet. I mean, like, what the hell happened to create that? Wait, don't imagine it.
Evolution. They needed something to fulfill that point, and it just went, we need a duck-billed platypus. Yeah. Oh, let's give it spurs with poison. Yeah, why not?
It was either that or God was just playing around with the Play-Doh one day.
Well.
But
that or he had a long night's drinking the night before. You know, Angel comes in the morning and goes, what the hell?
You let this get through? What? So the next bit of news is also a little bit sort of Warhammer-centric, and this is to do with a new magazine that has been launched by a group of people called 28. Now, 28 is a magazine that is entirely free for you to download, so you can go and check out issue one right now, and it's all based around the idea of them exploring the games that they enjoy. And that includes Inquisitor 28, Age of Sigmar 28, Necromunda, Mordheim, Age of Sigmar as a whole, Warhammer 40,000, and all the kind of things that come sort of linked in with that, but with a very, very sort of like grim, dark veil over pretty much everything here. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Inquisitor 28 and Age of Sigmar 28 are very much sort of games that are based around the idea of you using whatever rule set you want to try and create smaller stories within the world of Warhammer 40,000 and Age of Sigmar. Uh-huh. And obviously, we've seen that same kind of thing happen with the likes of Necromunda and Mordheim and stuff like that. And a lot of the things that they're doing as part of 28 magazine are very much inspired by the artwork that you might have seen for artists like John Blanche and those kind of people. And it's about bringing to life all those pieces of artwork that you will have seen in rule books and in White Dwarf and in Inferno and all that kind of thing, and bringing that to the tabletop. Their magazine is filled with a whole bunch of stuff in terms of like games and mechanics, so sort of some new rules you can throw into the mix. They've also got a lot of things that are very much focused towards the idea of artwork and hobby and painting. So if you want to get involved in building terrain or creating interesting new characters and warbands and things, they've really gone to town on that side of things as well. A big sort of focus of this is very much this idea of kit bashing too. So they seem to take a lot of stuff from all over the place and bring it together to create new and interesting things. And yeah, as a free magazine, it's pretty swish. So I'd definitely go and check it out. And yeah, watch out for some new stuff as well, because I know they're looking for contributors and that kind of thing in the future, which is pretty cool. So if you've got some ideas, maybe feedback to them as well. That could be cool. But yeah, a really nice new thing for people that want to look back a little bit of the old hammer and a little bit of the new mushed together, as it were. So yeah.
Cool. All right, the next thing coming up actually has me quite excited. So Mantic are doing some new stuff with The Walking Dead. What details do we have for this, Ben?
So the guys at Mantic have put together their playtest rule set for The Walking Dead March to War. Now, this is them taking things to a slightly bigger scale when it comes to Walking Dead. Instead of it being like solo, small groups of survivors, it's now groups of survivors bunched together against larger forces of the walkers and stuff as well, sort of fighting for territory and all that kind of thing. They've been doing a lot of playtesting, as I say, trying to do a sort of in-house, but now they've opened it up to the community, so they want people to be feeding back to this. Again, the sort of rules for this are free to download, so you can go and check those out and try it out for yourself on the tabletop. I believe you've had a look at it, Jerry, and sort of cast your eye over it, as it were. But
oh my god, yes. Have I ever. I haven't got through it all yet, because The Walking Dead rulebook is about 30 pages, something like that, and that includes all the scenarios and everything else. This which more or less goes, here's the Walking Dead rules, that's the first 10 pages at the front, and then the next 120 pages or so are the rest of your faction lists, your scenarios, and your expanded rules.
I see.
Still plays on a relatively small board, although that will be changing as soon as I get my hands on it.
why do I get the feeling you're going to have Ronnie by his ankles, absolutely trying to shake the rule set out of him?
Don't need to. I've got it downloaded already. Download's there for people to get in and start playing. Because they're looking for feedback on it. Mm-hmm. So it's currently still runs on the 20 by 20 or 20 by 40 inch that Walking Dead runs on. But there's the scalability there because they've added things like weapon ranges are solid in The Walking Dead, and in the March to War, they've got bands. So rifle fires at multiple bands, and it makes it more difficult or easier depending on where you are. So there's that granularity coming in.
And have they made much change to noise if you're going to be playing on a bigger play surface? Because noise carries, you fire a gun, that's going a fair distance.
No, it's still relatively set on the 10-inch noise mayhem thing, but what you do get now is walkers can be moved individually, or if there are up to five within a kill, so there's a little kill template if you haven't played it, which is like a four-inch, or it's just about that size template. You put that over the top, and up to five walkers can be replaced with a herd, and a herd comes on a bigger base. I'm assuming either some sort of sabot base will come in that you can put them on, or they're going to make a larger herd thing.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
if you've seen what they did with Mars Attacks, they did a little herd of cows that were on fire.
Yeah,
I can imagine them doing something similar here, where they have a little herd of walkers that are just crawling over each other, because that to kill a walker, you need to do one damage. To kill a walker in armor, you need to do two damage. To kill a herd, you need to do 10 damage. So you remove the herd, or you remove the models, and you put your herd base down, and that moves as if it was one walker. So you can, and because initiative passes back and forward, if you don't have the initiative, then you might find that your opponent mobs up a herd of walkers beside you first, and I think you can only generate so many herds per turn.
Right.
So you know, the initiative will mean that herds start clumping in various places depending on who's got it, passing back and forth. So that's all very interesting. They've also got various factions and faction abilities. So what they've done is they've taken the basic rules and they're adding another layer. So they're adding a strategy phase on top, where you can plan in what sort of things you want to do, and depending on the faction. So you've got like Rick's prison camp or prison survivor group has a very different play style to somebody like the hunters, and you can spend strategy points to do things. So they're just taking the rules that are currently there and just going, if you just tweak this, or a tactician can now do this, a bruiser can do this. So the rules are already in place, and the cards look like they're going to remain the same. So if you've got All Out War, then you can just take the step up if you want to, and it doesn't require a, you don't need to invest in a table's worth of terrain if you don't want to go to a 6x4. I will, because it's me.
I was actually about to ask, what do you think, do 12x6?
Oh, anything like that.
Massive city table.
We played, there were 6x4 games here at the boot camp that the very weekend it launched, just All Out War. So the fact that the March to War is coming, and they're going, well, here is, instead of playing 100-point games or 80-point games, you're playing 500-point games.
Ooh, wow.
So that's all there already, and the idea that we could just fire out a full city board and just go nuts is great. So
I'm thinking just the amount of post-apocalyptic stuff we have, if we did a 12x6 table layer, it could look absolutely amazing.
It would look fantastic, and definitely if you play All Out War and you've got the miniatures sitting there in the house, go and download this rule set. It's not pretty. There's none of the nice diagrams or pictures or anything like that in there yet, because it's a working rule set, but it will go, here are the rules, and then you'll get a little blue highlighted box going, these are our playtest rules for jumping or for climbing or for ranged weapons or blank, whatever it happens to be. And that's what they want feedback. They want people to play this, start banging some games out and going, oh, this is broken. If you do this with this, your game is destroyed, Ronnie. You've ruined everything. Go back to the drawing board. They need this now, because if it gets released later on this year and people haven't done that, then there'll be an awful lot of whining on the internet. And I know you're shocked, because there's so little whining on the internet normally.
Not going near that way at 24.
So yeah, it's I mean, it's a, a free download. It's a 116-page rulebook.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Yeah, go have fun. Yeah. I'm sure you'll probably want to check out what the guys at Mantic are doing at Salute, because I guarantee you they'll have something for this.
I might be, yeah. Yeah, I might saunter by there.
I assume you're dibsing that interview then?
You know, might do. there's a few places I might just lurk near and see what happens, you know. See if they'll pay me to go away.
Yeah. All right. Any more news there, Ben?
Yeah, so some of the extra news that came out of Mantic Games as well this week was that they've put the retail version up for Hellboy, the board game, up for pre-order. So if you want to get your hands on that and you missed out on the Kickstarter, you've got a chance to do that. The sort of core retail version of the game comes with just four of the plastic agents in there. So you get Hellboy, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. You get Liz Sherman, Johann Strauss, and Abe Sapien. I love Abe Sapien. He is one of my favorites. And of course, you get all the kind of core stuff that you would expect. So you're going to get a little adventure to play through in there, which is pretty awesome, and stuff like that. However, at this time as well, they are also still taking pre-orders for the last selection of collector's editions of the game, which come with all of the Kickstarter stuff that you could have got as part of that. Obviously, that costs you a little bit more, but you are still able to get your hands on that as well. This won't be available properly at retail. This is just for a very limited pre-order period right now, but they've got a couple of sets left over, so it's great to sort of get involved there and see if you can snap something up if you've missed out on the Kickstarter as well. There's also a version of it which you can pick up with a cinema ticket as well if you want to go see the new Hellboy movie, but it's up to you. But yeah, looking really cool indeed, and I cannot wait to play some Hellboy because my friend has got it from Kickstarter, but he hasn't got it just yet, but he is getting it from Kickstarter, and I cannot wait to play it. It's going to be amazing. So
it does look like a good game from what I've heard of it, the whole investigation phase, and then just having that tipping point where it all goes a little bit wibbly and, oh crap, we're in the fight now.
I unboxed it with Sam a couple of weeks ago. Components are fantastic, really nice. So if you've picked up any of the Walking Dead stuff, it's pre-assembled plastic, same sort of stuff as that. So the details are really crisp. There's cleanup to be done on it if you want to take it to the next level, but it's not onerous. But the detailing on things like Rasputin on Hellboy and Abe and the like is lovely. The frog people, great. The giant frog monster, fantastic. The tentacles, great. Now we just have the basic core set here.
Yeah, the retail set.
Which I may have dumped on John last week. I went paint these because we want to do some Let's Plays. I'm getting the Kickstarter version as well. And there's some beautiful things coming, like alternate sculpts, which is, it's worth it for that.
Now, are you going to go see the new movie? Because I'm a little bit wary of it because it's not Ron Perlman.
Yeah, but that's all right. There have been films without Ron Perlman in them before, and there'll be films without Ron Perlman afterwards, you know.
But Ron Perlman did Hellboy and did him really well.
He did a version of Hellboy really well. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the comic book version of Hellboy.
I know.
So, and it'll be interesting to see, does this new movie bear more of a resemblance to the comic book, or is it just a new take on their movie? I think they're aiming for more of the comic book type of thing.
I keep meaning to pick up some of the comics to give them a read, but I never get the chance. I never see them sitting about.
If you are looking to pick up the version with the ticket, mind you, that is in Nottingham, and it is with Ronnie and the lads.
Oh, right.
It's literally just the guys from Mantic going, we're going to see Hellboy. Do you want to come with us? Yeah. Get a copy of Hellboy, buy a ticket. Well, I assume we'll get drunk.
Watch it together and get pissed, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, if that's all we have for the news.
There's one more bit of news.
Oh, what is it? What is it?
The last bit of news is one that Jerry would crucify me for forgetting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't worry. I would just leave it on screen for the rest, regardless of what we're talking about.
Right.
So this is, the guys at War Games Atlantic have started to sell their plastic kits. They've got two of them up for order right now. One of them is the Raumjäger sci-fi soldiers, which is pretty cool. So if you're looking to use these in any kind of generic sci-fi stuff, or if you're potentially going to use it for something like 40K, for example, these would be pretty good soldiers. You can have a look at the sprues there as well. Very, very nice and easy to put together. Good to pose around with and play around with as well if you want to get stuck into some kit bashing. But as well as that, they've also done some fantasy stuff. So they're actually going to be working with the guys at Footsore / Warbanner / whatever they are at the moment, on Mortal Gods. And they're going to be designed up some plastic skeletons, which we have looked at in some previews in the past, but they're now available for you to pre-order as well, for you to use in your Greek games if you wish, or of course in any fantasy game as well.
Skelly Bobs.
Yep.
I'm really excited by this for a couple of reasons.
Uh-huh.
One, Greek Skelly Bobs. always great.
Yeah.
Two, the range that they've decided to go for with this. So they've gone for a Greek Skeleton Warrior set, which is nice. And then their Sci-Fi Trooper set, which is a little bit Deathcore of Krieg, a little bit Germanic, but they also have a head option there, and I've seen it painted up looking not dissimilar to Rebel Troopers from Hoth. See, so you could do it, and that's great.
Yeah, see, for the Sci-Fi Troopers, I would nearly go like Elysian Drop Troops for them.
Yeah, you could do that.
You know, I think it's a little bit more of that than it is Deathcore, because, you know, Deathcore, it's really that old World War One style of gas mask. I'm not really getting that vibe from these.
But that's because they've got multiple head options.
Well, bring up the sprue for me.
Hang on. So...
Up, up, up.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Fortunately, it's back to us here.
Hi.
But there's a set with helmets and gas masks on.
Gotcha.
Now, as far as Elysian Drop Troops go, they don't wear three-quarter length coats, and they generally have grav shirts, which these guys don't. So they're going to be more Elysian splat troops as they get thrown out of a Valkyrie on top of the enemy. It's the Elysian Suicide Squad. Just push them on top of the orcs.
Calm down.
See what kills them. But some of the stuff that's coming next from Wargames Atlantic is looking interesting. So they have another two historic ranges coming, and they've announced that it's going to be Dark Age Irish, which is amazing.
Although you have enough Irish.
No, well, you know.
You have enough Irish.
These are plastics.
But you have enough Irish.
No, I've got nice metal ones, and I could have some, you know, cheap and nasty plastic ones to throw at them. But... But the fact they've gone for Irish is really interesting, because if you want to go for Saxons or Anglo-Saxons, Anglo-Danes or Vikings, there's Gripping Beast, and then there's Vitrix. There's probably somebody else as well that I'm forgetting. There is somebody else, but I can't remember their name. Anyway, there are plastics out there, and it seems to be whenever somebody comes to do a range of Dark Age, they go, we'll do Vikings, we'll do Anglo-Danes. Irish is very popular, and the Irish will fit in with Celts and with sort of Scots, Picts, whatever you want. The fact they've gone, right, everybody does these, and there are these plastic kits. Why compete with those when we can do this instead? And it supplements, it sits alongside, which is great. And they're doing the exact same for the other range, which is Persians. So there's, again, you've got Wargames or Warlord have the Greeks, and Vitrix have Greeks as well. And now there's going to be plastic Persians. And the thing about Persians are they're a dung force normally, so you need far more of those than you need of Greeks. And up until now, if you're wanting those, you're having to buy them in metal. And to have that mass horde feel coming forward with their little light wicker shields that go on fire at the drop of a hat, it's costing you a fortune. Anybody who's seen the 300 Spartans will know what I'm talking about there. But yeah, so they've looked at the market. They've gone, we are going to do generic things that will fit many games, and we're not going to compete with other people who are already doing it. And people look at things like the Vitrix Greeks and go, these are fantastic, I need these in my life. Why would you put another Greek out there? Whereas nobody's doing the competition. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, after that, we might see plastic Carthaginians. That would be nice, because everybody and their dog does Romans. And who does the armies of Hannibal? Not enough people.
I would really like them to see them do something Crusader-based, because obviously we get a lot of the knights and all the Western Europeans and that kind of thing, but I'd love to see them do Saladin's army and get some of those in as well. That could be really cool. So
so it'd be interesting to see. It's an incredibly new company. They only started announcing that they really existed at the start of March. On March the 1st, they were going, we're coming. And then a couple of days later, they started previewing little things. And then they went live and went, we're here now. Enjoy. Well, okay, I will, since you've offered.
I get the feeling that this year you're going to see a lot more sort of ancients and sort of Iron Age coverage than we have in years past. What do you think?
Don't know.
Possibly? Possibly?
I wasn't thinking about it myself, but since you seem keen on it, we'll do that.
All right, I tell you what, everybody, we're going to take a quick break here, because myself, John, and Freddie from Battlefront get to sit down and have a chat about what they're going to be getting up to event-wise this year. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. I am joined in the studio by Freddie and John. Freddie from Battlefront. John's from here, if you didn't know.
I might be hanging around here. You might have seen me.
Yeah, just in the corner, painting away, you know, just saying, leave me alone. I like my tanks.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Freddie, we've brought you onto the show to actually have a chat about what the guys at Battlefront are going to be doing this year for events and stuff. So what's the next big one that you guys are looking at?
Well, we've got a big patch year this year. I don't know, rumours gone round anyway. We're relaunching. We've just done the sale of the final old, well, not old, previous iteration models of of Late War.
Ooh.
They've now, because the sale's gone, they've now been withdrawn. I could look, John's ears are picking up. Thanks. They're now coming back, but obviously a lot of those resin kits, as we've seen with the Nebelwerfers and the the Katyushas, are now plastic. So there's no soldering irons or whatever else to glue them. The plastic kits.
Yep.
Oh. So they're being relaunched, but what we're going to do, they're coming out.
Do we have a rough ETA?
Yeah, we're trying to tie them in with D-Day.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So you may see the odd item line around, I don't know, possibly at Salute.
Oh, so we might see some sneak peeks.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can. It's I have to get down to nick some from desks.
Find this man at Salute, twist his arm behind his back, and tell him give me the Late War stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll start with, actually, as we're talking about that, so at the open day on the 29th of June in Nottingham, the tickets are about to go up. We've got a Mahusiv table. It's six foot by 4 foot tables. This is at the open day, so that, because we're doing D-Day, so this is the D, because we just mentioned D-Day release. So those will be the, it's a participation game. Okay. Because all about participation games. At Salute, what we've done is we've got a Tanks Modern, like a Battle Royale. So you rock up, get a tank, and then there'll be prizes for the person whose tank kills the most or stays on the table longer.
So last man standing.
Last man standing. Yeah, so when you rock up, you give us your name, and then we'll record how many hits you've done. If you want to come back and have another attempt later on, you can. And then at the end of that day, we'll be announcing the person who's racked up the most amount of kills.
Nice. I see. John, you're not going to Salute.
No, I'm not. That's fine. That's fine. I have plenty of tanks here too. So
yeah.
So what else are you guys going to lay out at Salute?
Well, we've got a Great War table, which you'll, by this stage, you'll have seen the demo that John and I have done. The minis, two guys from Reluctant Conscripts, Rich and Pete, really nicely let us use the minis, but they use them for demos. So we'll have those minis to lay out. So if you want to dip your toe on Great War.
Yep. Yeah, so you've got a chance to bite in there.
We've also got a Team Yankee table and an Oil War table. Yeah. He said Oil War.
Yeah, Oil War has Oil me War. Excited. What about you, John? Anything you're liking from Oil War?
Gee, you already know I like all of Oil War, so you're the one that's been drooling. So
just a little bit, you know, the murk of us.
I noticed that all of the goodies that we sent over for you to have a look at, I noticed that you were peeking around while we were doing the Let's Play, and you've plagiarized the army.
Not quite. You know, I looked at what we had sitting, and I'm just thinking... I could maybe do some video content on that, possibly, maybe, sort of, kind of. It's coming home with me.
But there, I mean, there, when you do the unboxing, again, John's kind of drooling. Tim Adcourt really pushed the boundaries on that kit. You'll see it anyway, but it is a beautiful vehicle. Plastic, easy to put together. And they are iconic for that era. So, and because they're tying in... Oil War now ties in Fate of a Nation, which is a really good game, and Team Yankee. So the idea was, if we've got that set up at Salute, you can have a go at Oil War, you can have a go at Team Yankee.
So is the Oil War book specifically set within the Team Yankee universe then, where the Cold War goes hot?
Yeah, where Harold Coyle, as John said it in other videos, about... with a book, obviously had to come to a conclusion. What we've done is we've taken, or Phil and Wayne have taken that thread and they've run with it. So we've now got to the state where the Soviets have cheekily got themselves into Iran and then pulled the rug out from under the Iranians. So they're now going to take on the Iraqis. The Syrians are now looking at Israel. So we've got that going on. But it means, and the other thing is, as John was really drooling over, is the fact that with your, in fact, it's your army, you you talk about what you've done with the Soviets and those Leopards. With the T-72s and the Leopards.
Yeah, it's just the ability to, this is what I say in the book chat, the ability to take all those models that you've bought and maybe not finished painting and stuff like that, and then just building an army, and it will fit into to Oil War. That's the core of it. That's what I like.
Yeah, it does look like you can mix a bit more kit in.
Yeah, you can. It's just expanded the universe. Instead of it being that, it's now this size.
Yeah.
So again, to showcase it, we've got the tables, we have them set up at Salute so that you can have a look at them, watch them being played, and maybe have a go, dip your toe.
Yep.
If you've been playing Team Yankee, you think, I'm not going to have a go at it. Because the game systems are the same, but some of the mechanics are the same, I should say, but the flavour, some of the equipment changes the way you play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much so.
We will be at Salute. We will, of course, be coming across to talk to you guys. I'm always excited to see what you guys bring, because you always bring gorgeous looking tables.
Yep.
And I'm also really, really curious to see what the guys from Guild Force Night have been up to recently. You know, just out of curiosity. I'll not ask you now. I'll let you keep that one under your
hat. I mean, they've been working really hard. The Battlefield in a Box stuff now. The people have seen them. They've been out on the website for a while with some of those buildings. I mean, they're also working on the other game systems. So, you know, the some of the minis that they produce, you'll see those. We'll bring show cabinets over. We'll have Tim Adcock, really nice guy. So he works while we're there. So he'll bring in his CAD.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can just watch him designing minis. And if you really want to have a chat to him, he's a really nice, friendly guy. If you want to go over and have a chat, ask him how we work from drawing something in CAD to getting the tooling done to producing it in plastic.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, cool.
Again, come over, say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, other shows this year. Any big ones you guys are planning to hit? Obviously, Gen Con, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we're doing Gen Con. I mean, Gen Con's obviously, I mean, we're Battlefront, we're all about 15 mil. But obviously, we also support a lot of board games. There are a lot of good board games out there. So, Games Expo, we will bring in...
Ah, you're going to do Expo too?
Yeah, we'll bring in... we did it last year with the board games, with the Firefly, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
We've also got our open day.
Yes.
29th, as I mentioned, 29th of June. So we'll have... we're going to have the Weblink seminar so that you can chat. I mean, Peter Simunovic will be there.
Yeah, yeah.
You can sit in on the seminar. With some questions, and Phil Yates and the guys in New Zealand will be they'll get up. I don't know if it's get up early or stay up late, but they'll be
a day ahead of us.
Yeah, I think they are.
Depending on what time it is. I mean, like, I know the day starts in New Zealand time.
Yeah.
So depending on what time of the day we're at, they're probably about 12 hours the opposite end.
I think they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you mentioned you're doing 6x6 tables. Are they all just set out randomly, or
they're in a line. Because with the launch of Late War, or the relaunch of Late War, we're going back into it with a lot of really cool minis, plastics. So there's no lugging great big resin models. We've got a box launch. We're in the process of working out a boot camp.
we're pinning down details and such.
Yeah, which would be kind of cool. We're looking at doing that in the store in Nottingham as well.
Yeah.
Some of the guys at the Games Club, Kaelon, etc., they've been the regulars. We're looking at doing a boot camp ourselves in there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, if someone's bought something, they're in the area, pop in.
Yeah, yeah.
Store's open. Ring the buzzer. You can pop in. We'll run you through a game.
Yeah. Now, location for the open day, is it the same place as last year?
It's the same place. Yeah. So it's Cleve Lodge in Nottingham.
Yeah.
Which it's Long Eaton.
Yeah. And there's pretty handy hotels and stuff pretty close by to that.
Yeah. It's like hotel and bed and breakfast city that part of the town.
Yeah. And it's actually a Mason's Hall.
Yeah.
You know, last year when we covered it, me and John and the others were walking around going, I wonder where the secret passages are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it kind of looks, if I can say, it looks kind of 40k-ish when you get upstairs. It's quite
it does a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you see, it's just a little bit, you know, it does have that feel and flavour of Secret Society meeting room.
Yeah, but they're nice guys. They let us use it, you know, we used it last year, and it's a nice setting, the main room downstairs. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we've got, again, the demo tables.
Yeah.
But the idea is we've got some guys from Breakthrough Assault. Thanks, guys. What they're doing, we've sent some minis out. We reached out to them, got some minis out. They're painting Americans and Germans. So we're not going to do, everyone's thinking, yeah, it's tying in with D-Day, but we thought, Beach Assault?
Yeah.
How about breaking out off of the beach?
Yes.
Into the land beyond? Right. So that's the idea. So you can rock up, play Americans in the morning, have some lunch, and then come back and think, well, actually, I'd like to try Germans.
Maybe. Yeah. What do you think, John? You up for it?
Because
I remember last year when you tried Vitman's Wild Ride.
Yeah, Vitman's Wild Ride, which was a heck of a lot of fun. Yes. Yeah. Him came second place, walked away with a Barkman.
Yeah.
I still have in the box.
Again, Pete and Rich, the guys from Reluctant Conscripts, they're always looking for new, interesting scenarios.
Mm.
So the one that we're hoping that they'll use at Salute is the Capture the Bathhouse, which is an actual scenario. We had it at Hammerhead, went down quite well. Mm. In the last few hours of World War One, some American general said, well, we're going to capture this intact bathhouse so the troops can get clean. And I think they finished fighting at about a minute to 11.
Yeah.
But they, on the stand, they've got photos of the actual event of the attack going in.
Wow.
But they've done Vitman's Wild Ride, which is immensely popular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're now looking at maybe another scenario.
Ah.
So it could be something like what's his name with the panther? Barkman.
Yeah.
Ernst Barkman.
I see.
Possibly Lone Panther with a load of Shermans coming up a Bocage Lane.
That could be interesting.
But we're going to keep that as a surprise. So
I see.
When you
really,
arrive,
you may have just given it away.
Yeah.
Any questions for Freddie, John?
No, I have thoroughly interrogated him over the last few days. But well, he's been here, so
as Blackadder would say, he pumped me thoroughly in the debriefing room.
Yes. Well, we are looking to cover the open day as well here at Beast of War, so we may be along with the guys to do some video coverage of that. So if there's any pressing or particular questions you want to ask the guys at Battlefront, make sure and get them in the comments below. If we can catch them at Salute to actually get it, you know, we'll obviously do an interview with them, but if there's anything particular you want to know about, get it down below.
Yeah.
I think that's enough for us, gents. I
think so.
Yeah.
Get your comments in below, everybody. We will move on. We will see you again soon. Okay, Freddie has me really excited with this idea of doing six by six tables all ran together to do a D-Day scenario for a participation game.
It's interesting. Can you get to pick what beach you're going to be on, though? Because there's some of those beaches I wouldn't want to go near.
And I forgot. No, obviously, you know, give me Juno.
Oh, yeah.
I'll rock in there. I'll be happy enough.
Gold's quite good as well.
Yeah.
We were talking about this a while ago, myself and John, and we were going... especially with the setup we have here, where you've got six tables and then you've got two at the back.
Aye.
And what you could quite happily do is have your beach landings and then the two separate tables, that could be some of your airborne drops that went in beforehand. Yeah, and then have them all tied together.
Although, what if you did a naval war game on the bottom too?
No.
Shooting into the rest of them. No?
All you're really doing at that point is playing Battleship. Because they're practically untouchable.
Yeah, I suppose.
And occasionally somebody might fire back, and then you go E3 missed.
Okay.
So
you'd rather do some of the paratrooper stuff then?
Potentially, you could do something like a Blue Max style or Blood Red Sky style game. Well, no, because Blood Red Sky is too small. You need gliders and aircraft para.
Yes.
Words. Anyway, you need the bigger planes, and I don't think Blood Red Skies handles that, but things like Blue Max does.
Mm.
And having something where you're trying to drop troops in, so you could play an airborne assault in the air.
You could do Bridge. Obviously, it's one of the best known ones.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about on the ground. I'm talking about if you want to do something not a ground-based game.
Oh, I see.
Actually have Blue Max has one where you're trying to escort, normally they're escorting bombers in, but they could be drop ships, so you get your planes in, and then the Germans are attempting to take them out before you reach, and you could have that have an impact then on the airborne tables with how many troops actually land. Yeah. But I don't know off the top of my head how good the German anti-air was for it to actually be realistic or interesting.
Here's an idea for the bottom two tables then. Do it as an operational level game where you are controlling what reserves are going into the others and that trying to actually run the breakout from those tables.
That could be cool. Yeah.
I would, if I was going to do
British High Command, German High Command.
If I was going to do that, I would do that in the cage. And I'll tell you why. I wouldn't want them to see what was on the tables.
Aye.
So you would have your D-Day airborne troops on the airborne tables. You would have your beach assaults. And then you would feed back via some sort of fog of war. So they've got their overall table in the cage. And you're going, oh, this is happening there. And they're going, oh, push more reserves into there.
Yeah.
But they don't really know what's happening. And they might not all arrive there, or they might get scattered.
Well, we actually have, it just came into the office, I think Warren mentioned it a few weeks ago. We now have a dolly that we can string along the ceiling and hook up a camera to.
Yes.
So we could actually have that taking snapshots.
Aerial reconnaissance.
And snapping onto the tables and feeding them into the cage.
That type of thing. So the two commanders playing the overall game wouldn't actually have a real clue of how things were going on the tables, and having to rely on dodgy intelligence is the best way to make decisions.
Cool. I wonder if we could get a digital camera that's the equivalent of a potato.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, just to get the worst digital photos I could.
Oh, very much so. Just, worst comes to worst, just smear a bit of Vaseline over the lens just to blur everything slightly. Good to go.
You could do. All right, closing in on the end of the show, guys, so it's time for some Kickstarters. Ben, what have we got?
Cool, yeah. So the first one of these is from the guys at Lay Waste Games, who have done Dragoon in the past, which is pretty awesome. And this new game is called Life Siphon. Now, Life Siphon has you playing as human beings who have retreated underground because dragons are burning everything on the surface, and deep down in the shadows you find a cursed chest that says do not open on it. But because you're humans, you opened it. And now all of you are cursed, and the only other way that you can survive is for you to kill your companions. So the aim of the game, which is for 2 to 4 players, is that you're going to be trying to kill the player to your left, but also stop yourself dying to the player to your right. And in some ways, keeping them alive so that they don't die to the player on their left. So yeah, this is a game about backstabbing, but it's a game about very, very selective backstabbing.
My favourite type.
Selective backstabbing, yes, indeed. Throughout the game, you'll obviously be trying to kill your opponent, but this can be done in a number of different ways. You're going to be playing a whole bunch of cards down to the tabletop that will allow you to not only boost yourself, but also lessen your allies' abilities and things like that. You'll be able to summon familiars as well to the tabletop to use in your games to try and like fight them and do a little bit more extra damage. The cool thing about your familiars, however, is they actually cost you life points in order to summon. So if you're going to be summoning those, you're going to have to be trying to sort of like test your wits and see whether or not you can hold out long enough in order to get them onto the tabletop, but also stop yourself from dying at the same time. As I say, I really like the idea of this being a backstabbing game, but it being done on a sort of like a setting where it's effectively you only have one person to worry about. Or less two, but yeah, I love that, and it means that you don't have everyone piling in on one player to try and get them out of the game or anything like that. So this just sounds really, really fun. The game itself comes in its typical sort of like over-the-top lay waste game style, so you can either get it with some amazing wooden pieces, or you can go really, really, really bling and throw in some really big chunks of metal in there for all the different pieces, and also a lovely fabric mat as well. If anyone's played one of their other games, let's say Dragoon and all that kind of thing, they do look amazing when you've got all these extra gubbins on the tabletop with that stuff. So yeah, Life Siphon sounds pretty cool. If you like your backstabbing games, check this one out on Kickstarter.
It sounds like a lot of fun, and it's nice to see that they've got some stuff happening with the guys at Wormwood as well.
Yes, they do, yeah. So they've got a couple of really nice sort of like containers for dice and tokens and all that kind of thing as well, so it's cool.
Very, very cool. What do you think, Jerry? Would you go for it? You like a little bit of backstabby-stabby?
I do. It sounds really interesting as well. It sounds a lot like Magic. Multiplayer Magic game just to work like that.
Yeah.
Where you could only attack in one direction with creatures, so you're always in a round table, but spells could go anywhere. And this idea that you can, so you're still only attacking in one direction. So if you want to kill the person to your right, you've got to go through two people to your left first. You know, at the end of the day, if you're all underground because there's a dragon up top and you've done yourself a terrible mischief, I have absolutely no problem with offing everybody around me, because mortar will only go so far.
See, for a game like this, I would love it if they actually did a secret target kind of thing, where you're actually your target is secret from everybody else at the beginning of the game. You draw a chit. So I'm after Jerry.
Yep.
Jerry's after me. Ben, you're after Jerry, or just some combination of that. You know, so that it's not just, I know it's him, I know it's him.
But then, because you're always attacking in one direction, if you don't get the person immediately to your left, you could find that your target's killed beforehand.
Possibly, possibly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Hmm. What else do we have here, Ben?
So the other Kickstarter we're going to be looking at, well, one of the other Kickstarter we're going to be looking at is from the guys at Game Brewer, and this is a big, huge, amazing-looking game called Fujikuro. So this is a 1-6 player adventure game with some sort of Euro-style mechanics thrown into the mix. It can be played either competitively with between 2 to 6 players, because you need someone to fight, or you can play it cooperatively with 1 to 6 players. The whole idea of this is that it's effectively a little bit of like a dungeon crawl. You're going to be playing as these really awesome samurai-style characters who are going off into the mountains to try and bring back treasures and riches to sort of impress the emperor, while also fighting loads of insanely powerful and cool-looking dragons at the same time. The other cool aspect to this that I thought is really fun is that you actually build your weapons Minecraft style. So you'll notice that if you're looking through here, you may see some of the player boards. They actually have cubed, sort of square-based style setups for your weapons and armor, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when you get your materials, you actually build the weapons in there to fit what you're using. So this means you've got to build your sandals for running across the lava, you've got to build your weapons, and sort of if you use different materials, they'll have more durability and they'll sort of chip them away over time. You've got to build your helmet for getting hit on the noggin and all that kind of thing, and your bag for carrying around your treasure and all that kind of thing as well. The actual map itself that sort of lays out the dungeons is entirely modular, so it sort of expands as you go deeper into it. So there's a really cool sort of test your luck sort of element to it as well, which is really cool. And of course, you've got to get in there, get the treasure, defeat monsters, and sort of get out of there before everything goes crazy and the game ends. And of course, if you're outside with all the treasure and someone else is inside where all the monsters and the lava is, well, more fool them.
Yeah, so more power to you.
But yeah, the artwork for this game looks really cool. I really like what they're doing, that kind of like push your luck mechanic. I like that sort of idea that they're sort of bringing in this kind of create your own weapon style thing in there as well, with that element to the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sounds really cool. And I just love anything that allows you to either be competitive or cooperative, or even a mix of the two and be a little bit semi-cooperative as well. Because of course, one person's got to win at the end of the day. But yeah, very, very cool stuff coming out of Game Brewer. Looks really nice. Again, they've got either a sort of basic set for the game or a more deluxe one, which comes with some really nice plastic pieces as well. So,
That's what I'm just looking at, actually. Mm-hmm. So currently the Kickstarter is for the deluxe version.
Yes.
So you'll get all the little plastic chits and pieces and dragons. When it hits retail, a lot of that won't be included. It will just be cardboard standees and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So
see, I like whenever a Kickstarter does that, they make a far prettier game for the people who helped to actually create the thing.
It's certainly a nice change. It's a nice idea, the actually going out there and Minecrafting, building your kit.
It's
not just I need to pick up.
Yeah, you draw from a deck and oh look, you got the most powerful sword in the game by random.
Yeah, put some effort in.
Yeah, it also means that you get to be kind of creative with it as well. Like, because obviously there's no reason why you can't just create just like a normal looking sword, you know, out of the blocks and stuff. But you know, be a little bit cooler, you know, make something really weird and interesting, like a weird, crazy tomp fur or something, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's cool
Sweet.
Stuff.
Yeah. All right, last Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I requested for this show. Because it's from the guys at Weta. It's the District 9 board game, and I absolutely adore what they have done with it. If we just have a look down through it here. So you are going to be playing through 3 days of the movie. You've got Vikas on the board as himself, as his infected version, and as his Mac version.
Mm-hmm.
So each day he changes a different step. But what you're doing is you're playing a couple of the different factions. So you've got 4 factions in the base game. They are all evicting prawns and trying to steal the technology of District 9. So you will have one faction, prawn gangsters.
Uh-huh.
One faction, which is the African gangsters. You've then got the first recon division from MNU.
Right.
And then MNU themselves. And basically, it's a really deep tactical game, because you're going into the districts. If you scroll down to see the board here, you can see each board tile has different zones in it where technology drops. And as you evict prawns, prawns will spawn in those districts because, well, you're trying to steal their stuff.
Terrible.
but it's all sort of a race to the bottom of the barrel to see who can get the most technology, because whoever is the most at the end is going to be your winner.
Yeah.
And it's nice because the way damage works in this game, you're never knocked out. If you take damage, you'll lose allies and equipment off your vehicle. If you have no allies or equipment, you're going to start losing tech, which is your victory points.
Right.
So you can really play some nasty tricks on each other. And the final day is a massive boss fight against Vickis as the mech. And it's just everything piling in.
That's on pretty cool.
When you get hit by a flying cow. No, it was a pig, wasn't it?
Was it a pig?
Yeah, a flying pig.
I don't think I got hit by a flying pig, but they may put it in there. But they're working through this.
I've just seen the best add-on ever.
The putty cat food can? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mech in a can of cat food.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great.
Also,
cat food not included.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointed.
It's something I like about the way the guys at Weta do this is they do really fun add-ons on top of like super serious ones. But I mean, like, everything they're adding is designed to enhance the game. So, I don't know. If we have a Let's Play out there, if you haven't checked it out, definitely go and look at it and definitely go and check out this Kickstarter. What's your own thoughts for it, Ben?
Yeah, I like the look of this. I really like the idea that they're taking on an interesting sort of, like, angle of how they approach this sort of board game. It could very easily have just been sort of, like, you know, faction on faction stuff. But I love the fact that it's actually taking part during the events of the film. Mm. So you're actually seeing sort of things dynamically play out on the tabletop and sort of changing things around in terms of the sort of like history of how it all played out as well. So yeah, it looks really cool. All the miniatures are looking really nice as well. Of course, all the guys at Weta are, you know, involved in the kind of creating of this film and all that kind of thing. So there's some real pedigree behind what they're doing. And these guys did pretty well with GKR. My voice.
Giant Killer Robots.
Giant Killer Robots. And that was really fun.
Yeah. What about yourself, Jerry? Is this one for you?
I don't know. I was thinking I would be spot on, and then I seen these two reprobates here.
Oi!
Look at this. Press and reviews. Would you buy a used car from these men? Look at this. Oh, I'm not too sure now.
Do I need to do a meme of me slapping a car and saying, look, it's fine, just buy the damn thing?
It's one of those games. I'm not a huge board gamer fan. I tend to default mostly to my war games, but it does look really interesting.
Yeah,
I like the fact that every faction has got those sort of unique sculpts, so they're all very distinctive.
One of the things that I quite like is, so Vickis actually runs as an AI, and you have other main characters from the game running as an AI. But another thing that you can do is, as you're evicting and stealing the technology, you're actually pushing up the unrest within District 9, and you can actually get to a stage where the local prawns will just riot and ruin your day.
Good times.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think myself and Ryan pushed really hard to get to a riot, but we just dodged it.
Shame.
Yeah, I wanted to see
how
it worked.
Next time.
Yeah.
That was just a two-player game. Have you had a chance to break it out with more people yet?
We have not. Currently, the core set's going to allow you to play four players.
Yeah.
But there's an expansion that lets you add another two players. So playing this six players, I think, would be absolutely that crazy and good time.
That would get the prawns riding.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. Mm. Well, if you think every turn you activate, you're getting, I think it's three orders plus an action off your cards.
Yeah.
So you could evict, which pushes it up. And when you evict, you grab your tech, which puts it up. Move, evict, grab the tech, put it up again.
Nice.
Yeah, so you
it's just
really
like the housing crisis in some areas, just going door to door evicting people and nicking all their stuff.
Well, no, you see the scroll. You have to get the scroll.
Say nothing. Ben's not saying anything either.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, fabulous game. I really like it. Definitely go and check it out. Ben, which of the three is going to be your favorite? I know where my heart's lying with this one.
Oh, I think because I love anything that the guys at Legwaste Games do, I'd have to go for Life Siphon. And I like anything that's backstabbing based, but also with, you know, a little bit of a tweak on the formula. So that's pretty cool for me. So,
Jerry?
I was thinking Life Siphon as well. I really like the look of it.
It does look beautiful. I will give it that.
And
I've seen what they can do with Dragoon.
Yeah, and the idea that you are just down
trapped
in a ditch
hole.
Somewhere, trapped in a hole, and murdering your friends for fun and profit and survival is all good.
There's the game you need to make. Murdering your friends for fun and profit and survival.
Pretty much every Wednesday night.
All right, everybody, I tell you what, get your comments down below. Tell us what you thought of this week's episode. Was there anything that really jumped out at you that you're wanting to talk about? Myself, Jerry, and Ben will move on to the XLBS tomorrow morning across on ontabletop.com. Don't forget, we do have those two prizes up for grabs in this week's episode. And to be in with your chance of winning, don't forget to like, subscribe, ding our dong on YouTube, then come across to the ontabletop.com website, become a member, and you could also win there. We'll move on. We'll see you again soon.
Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now, and be sure to check out beastsofwar.com for the latest gaming news and gaming Let's Plays. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.